Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
Hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of 2 Peter and will be continuing today with part 2 of Adding to Your Faith. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
But add to your knowledge now self-control.
Something that our culture knows little about today. Moderation, temperance. Again, the Spirit of God, of course, enables us to do these things. The Spirit of God helps us to do these things as we seek the Lord, as we give ourselves to Him, as we meditate upon His truth. That work of the Spirit takes place in our lives, and so we develop a self-control. And then He says perseverance, or you could translate this word endurance. It's enduring, it's pressing on. There's all kinds of opposition to try to get us to just throw in the towel, to give up the fight. But we need to add perseverance to our faith, that we're going to stick with this call of God upon our lives. No matter how difficult it might become, or no matter how mundane it seems at times, we've got to persevere through it. And so we add to our faith perseverance. And to our perseverance, we add godliness. Godliness means just what it sounds like it means. It means the likeness of God. We want to be more like the Lord. Now, you know, sometimes we hear things like, well, you know, we can never really be like the Lord, so any attempt at imitating Christ is just going to end in frustration. And, well, technically, there is some truth to that. Many years ago, Thomas A. Kempis wrote a book called The Imitation of Christ. And in that book, he exhorted his readers to study the life of Jesus in the Gospels and then try to imitate Jesus. That's a noble idea. It can be a very frustrating experience if you're not born of the Spirit. Even in being born of the Spirit, it can be frustrating if you're not leaning totally on the Spirit to do it. But more recently, we had a few years back the slogan that came out, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And, you know, as I've said, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, whatever Jesus would do, that's great, but I'm not Jesus. Well, that's true, but I am a partaker of the divine nature. And that's what we've got to remember. The imitation of Christ is an impossibility for those who are not born of the Spirit. But for those who are born of the Spirit, although we cannot perfectly imitate Christ in every situation because we're still sinners, we could certainly endeavor toward doing that. And by the help of the Spirit, we can certainly grow in God-likeness. And we need to realize that we can. We can grow into being more like God. And that's what Peter says that we are to do. We're to add to our faith God-likeness. We're to seek to be more like the Lord. We see how He is, and then we seek to behave like He would behave, like Jesus behaved. To godliness, then, brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness, love. And these are the things that it wouldn't hurt any of us to look over this list on a weekly basis and just to say, Lord, how am I doing with these things? Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness means what it sounds like, just being kind to people, being nice, being pleasant, being gentle, being friendly. And then love. Having love is just sort of that dominant feature in our lives. So these are the things that we're to add to our faith. And as I said, I think if we would weekly just look at the list and just say, Lord, how am I doing? Now, Peter tells us something wonderful here in verse 8. Listen to this. He says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. For if these things are yours, there's a condition here. So the condition for a fruitful life, that's what he's telling us. The condition for a fruitful life is that these things abound in our life. So this is something that we need to always be working on, in a sense. It's something we always need to be thinking about. It's something we always need to be conscious of. Because these things need to be ours and they need to be abounding in our life if we're going to be the fruitful people that the Lord wants us to be. So you see why it's important to be always subjecting ourselves to these things. Now, not necessarily to this particular passage, but to the scriptures themselves, because, you know, all throughout the scripture, we have similar teaching, just stated sometimes in slightly different ways, but the same thing is being told to us over and over and over again. And in our next study, Peter's going to introduce the next session by reminding the readers that he's not telling them anything new. The Bible itself contains a fairly simple message with some pretty basic information, and it tells us the same things over and over and over again in a variety of ways. God's given us the variety so we don't get bored. But he's just telling us the same thing. Because there are just a few simple things that if we do these things. Notice here, what do we have? We have seven things. Along with faith, we have eight. Here's seven things. If you do these seven things, if you add these seven things to your faith, what does he say? He says, you'll never be barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, these seven things, if you add these to your life, you're guaranteed to be a fruitful Christian. Now, that's what we want, isn't it? I want to be a fruitful Christian. God wants me to be a fruitful Christian. I trust you want to be a fruitful Christian. How do we do it? Well, here it is. It's simple. Add these seven things to your faith. And as you do this, you'll never be barren. You'll never be idle. The word barren can be translated, or it's actually idle is the literal translation, but barren keeps with the analogy. You have the contrast between a barren tree and a fruitful tree. So he's saying if you add these things, you'll be a fruitful tree. That's what God desires, doesn't he? Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. God is wanting fruit to be born from our lives. Now, listen to what he says in verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Oh, you see, just as we were talking about a moment ago, the person who's not adding to their faith, the person who's gained knowledge but is now just sitting back and resting on their laurels, the person who has no more passion for God like he once had or she once had, is the person who has forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Forgotten what God has done for you. Forgotten where God has brought you from and all that he's done for you. It's good for us to reflect at times on where we were.
You know, we can easily forget that. We become Christians, we get plugged into the church, we get surrounded with Christian people, we hear Bible studies, and pretty soon that old life and world is gone, and that's a good thing in a lot of ways, most ways, but it's always also good to remember where God brought us from. Because I know for me, in remembering where God brought me from, it never ceases to cause thanksgiving to well up in my heart when I think of how the Lord saved me from that aimless life that I had received by tradition from my fathers that I was living. It's always interesting to me when I head up the coast in that direction because that's where my family came from. And as we drive through the area of Camarillo and Ventura and up into Santa Barbara, it's always a nostalgic time for me. You know, so all of these memories of when I was a kid and all these things we used to do. And the tragedy in all of that in my personal situation is that all of those people who were once there are now dead. They died prematurely through alcohol abuse or drug abuse or, you know, violence or all kinds of things like that. And so in, you know, just driving up and down the coast there, In my mind, I reflect back on my childhood, my upbringing, my life as it was, even as a teenager. And even today, as I'm driving back through that area, I'm thanking God that He saved me. And I'm thanking God that my destiny is not the destiny of those people that I once knew. That He's given me a new destiny. It's a destiny in Christ, not outside of Christ. And it's always healthy to reflect back on what the Lord did, how He purged us from our sin, how He brought us into His kingdom, how He made us His children, and He's allowed us to be His servants. And if I ever begin to get dull in my heart toward the Lord or lose my thankfulness for what He's done, all I have to do is just think about where I came from. And immediately that thankfulness returns. And as I have that heart of thanksgiving, as I have that heart of appreciation, it's going to lend itself to fruitfulness in my life. Because, Lord, I want to do more for You. I want to give more. I want to be more. It's such a privilege to serve the Lord. This past Wednesday evening, I had an opportunity to go over to speak to some of the students there. And as I walked into this room and a few hundred students had gathered together, I just suddenly felt this overwhelming sense of thankfulness and a privilege, but yet also I sensed a great responsibility. Like, Lord, these people are here to hear from You. They want to know about You, and I'm responsible to, and it provoked me to want to know the Lord more. It provoked me to want to study my Bible more, to know more about the things of God so I could really help the people that I was going to speak to. And so we can't forget what God has done for us. If we forget, then we'll become barren and unfruitful. We'll become blind. That's what he says here. Short-sighted, even to blindness. Can't remember. Can't see back to where God has brought us from. But we won't be that way if we keep our eyes on the Lord and keep living in that place of gratitude for what He's done. And now look at what he says in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, this is such important stuff here. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Now, what did he say to begin the exhortation here? He said, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now he says, be even more diligent. So what he's going to talk about now calls for a greater alertness even. He's saying, listen. Listen to what I have to say. Right here, this is vital stuff. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to do what? To make your call and election sure. To make your call and election sure. You know, quite often the issue of eternal security comes up. I think every day we get a call about eternal security. Eternal security meaning is a person, you know, once they're saved, are they always saved? Or is it possible for someone to lose their salvation? And, you know, that question arises all the time. And, you know, you can look at it from this angle and you can look at it from that angle. And then, you know, you've got this theological point of view and then you've got that theological point of view. But listen to what Peter is saying here. Basically, what he's saying is that unless you're growing in the Lord, unless you're moving ahead with Jesus, unless you're adding to your faith these things, you don't have a guarantee of anything. He says, this is how you make your calling and election sure, by adding to your faith. If you're not progressing, if you're not moving ahead, if you're not seeking God actively in your life, there's no security. There's never a place where the scriptures console us in sin. Never can you find the scripture saying, oh, you're in sin, it's okay. You're saved, don't worry about that. You know, as long as you've gone forward, as long as you say the sinner's prayer, you're saved. And so, you know, when you get tired of your sin, come on back and the Lord will forgive you. Can't find anything in the scripture that even remotely sounds like that. Because the scripture never comforts us in a state of sin, nor does it ever comfort us in a state of complacency. Paul and, or whoever wrote Hebrews, a lot of people think Paul did, some don't. Whoever wrote it, the Holy Spirit wrote it through the pen of someone. But in Hebrews, we're warned against neglecting so great a salvation. Neglecting so great a salvation, settling into a complacency, getting into a place where, you know, yeah, I'm saved, but there's a lot of other important things in life as well. We're warned against that sort of complacency. And here's how Peter says we can guarantee our calling and election. Here's how you can have eternal security. Here's how you can have assurance of your faith. Here's how you can know that everything's okay. If you're doing these things that he's talking about here, this is how you make your calling and your election sure. This whole idea of election, we have the issue of Calvinism that comes up. Are you one of the elect? Some people say, well, I don't know if I'm one of the elect or not. Well, you can make sure you're one of the elect. There's no mystery here. You can make your calling and election sure. How? If you do these things. Notice that. If you do these things, you make your calling and election sure. I know I'm saved. How do I know I'm saved? Well, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm seeking God. I'm seeking to live for Him. I'm not perfect. Doesn't mean that I never fail. Sometimes I'm lethargic spiritually, and sometimes I'm displaying an attitude that isn't the attitude that He would want me to have, but man, when He convicts me, you're right, Lord, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, honey, I'm sorry, kids, I'm sorry, whoever, and we're moving in that direction, getting things right with the Lord. If you do these things, notice what He said, you will never stumble. Here's a way to just walk in security. Walk in that confidence that, yes, I'm the Lord's and He is mine, and I know that everything's going to be okay eternally. I have that complete confidence as I'm walking with the Lord. And I have the promise I'll never stumble. Don't you want to know how to never stumble? Well, here it is. Isn't it wonderful? You know, unfortunately, there's so much backsliding in the body of Christ that I think some people look at backsliding as just sort of step 3 in the Christian life. You know, you get saved, you get baptized, then you backslide for a while. And step 4 is you come back from backsliding. But no, backsliding is not part of the program. At least it's not supposed to be. Unfortunately, it is for a lot of people. But it's not supposed to be. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. You'll never backslide. You'll never fall into that pattern of living that you were saved from. If you're adding to your faith, if you're remembering what God has done for you. And so he says then, For so an entrance, here's a wonderful thing. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll never stumble if you do these things. And to top it off, you're going to have an abundant entry into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An abundant entry. Isn't that what we want to have on that day? An abundant entry. We want all the celebration possible. We want to come through victoriously, not slip in by the skin of our teeth, just barely make it. You know, think about that entrance into heaven. And I think Peter is, he's presenting a picture to us. He presents a picture of an abundant entry into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I think the implication here is it's possible to have something less than an abundant entry. And so the ideal situation is that on the day we arrive there before the throne of God, we're greeted by the Lord, we're greeted by the angels, we're greeted by the saints, and everybody is so thrilled that we're there. We finished the race. Like Paul said at the end of his life, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me. So as Paul knelt down and placed his head on that chopping block, and that executioner laid the sword across his neck, and suddenly he was ushered into the kingdom. There was the Lord to meet him with that crown of righteousness. That's the abundant entry. But the implication is that there are some that will arrive without any fanfare, without that great cloud of witnesses there to greet, without that heavenly host saying, "Welcome, so great to see you. We've been waiting for you to get here." Instead, there you are. You just show up, you know. Is this the right place? And, you know, they've got to look through the scroll to see if your name is there. Oh, yeah, okay, you're here. Come on in. It's a comical way of looking at it, but I don't think it's going to be that funny. Man, I would hate to get to heaven and have that kind of experience. Just regretting, oh, Lord, why didn't I? I had so many opportunities. Lord, you'd done so much for me, but why? You know, the Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? We don't know exactly. But you know, the scripture seems to indicate that there's going to be some evaluation of our service here on earth. Well, we're going to heaven. If we arrive at the judgment seat of Christ, we're in heaven. We're going to spend eternity there. But we might spend eternity in a lesser role in heaven that we might have had we been as faithful as we should have been. And that's the difference between the entries that are possible. Peter says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. And so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the kind of entrance I want to have. And I trust that's the kind of entrance you want to have as well. And here's the way to do it. It's all laid out for us. Add to your faith. Give all diligence. Just like you have to give diligence at anything else, you've got to give diligence to this as well. But thank God that it's not merely our own efforts. It's not simply through human energy that I'm going to attain. It's not the survival of the fittest. It's not the strongest wins. It's that God by His Spirit is indwelling every one of us, and by His Spirit He'll empower us to add to our faith those things that need to be added so we can be fruitful and never stumble and have that abundant entry. That's good news.
That's great information.
Let's take it and apply it.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Peter in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Sure Word of Prophecy. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Adding to Your Faith. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3055. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.